As we're kicking off a brand new year, is there anybody out there who doesn't believe that game-changing plans are what is needed in so many areas around the entire world? We have so many, many challenges to address, and the need for affordable, safe, healthy housing for all is high on the list. And if it's not super high on yours, I hope it will be after listening to this show and what our guest has to share. Habitat for Humanity Tucson is taking action. We can't wait to tell you about it and can't wait for you to help us spread the word, because for millions of people around the globe, homelessness is their new reality in light of the impact of the worst pandemic that continues to impact all of our lives every single day. Hey, everybody, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. Please join me in warmly welcoming return guest T. Van Hook. She is the Chief Executive Officer for Habitat for Humanity. She has lots of good news, which makes me happy. T and her team continue to work very hard every single day to end homelessness. And that's what she wants to do, end homelessness. And so does Habitat for Humanity globally. And to end the cycle of poverty that comes with owning a home. We're going to be discussing building opportunity through affordable housing. It's good news, as I said. It's inspiring, and we certainly have the right person here to deliver the message. T, it's great to have you here, just first up in the new year. And even from the last time we were on the show, right out of the chute, did you ever think that this is where we were going to be in terms of homelessness? I mean, talk about job security. And I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, say that lightly. I mean, homelessness is getting worse because of the pandemic. So my first question is, how are you, and how good or bad is it out there when it comes to homelessness?
Well, you know, people are really facing a lot of housing challenges. But the great news is that the thing 2020 taught us is that home matters, that it's a critical place, that it's someplace that has become our sanctuary, our school, our place of work, all of these things. Things that you and I have been talking about for years has become a reality for so many. And so there's a heightened awareness of the need for housing in our community and, you know, lots going on about it. And Habitat for Humanity Tucson is leading the way in home ownership. And so many other programs are out there really trying to support folks along the entire continuum, from homeless to folks that have a home that are being threatened by foreclosure or eviction. And so I'm really pleased to say there are a lot of programs out there helping folks, and we're certainly doing our part at Habitat Tucson.
And you're right. You are spot on, because this is really a challenging time. But what I have found, and what you're mirroring, is there's a lot of good in people, and there's a lot of goodness out there, and people who have a little bit more, giving a little bit more, and people with the resources doing more than they normally do. So it's just, some days it's easier for me to focus on that than others when some, you know, new studies come out. But what excited me about this show is you are talking about a game-changing opportunity, a plan for our community through the affordable housing. And I want you to take it away and tell us about it, and I'll interrupt if I have a question or clarification, but tell us about how you are going to be able to build more homes faster. It touches so many metrics of, you know, employability and all that. So take it away, T. Van Hook.
Sure. Well, we're planning what we were calling the Opportunity Center, and we're now calling the CHUC. I'll explain that to you
better.
In a minute. But there are two real needs in our community. That there are a lot of needs in our community, but two that we can focus on. And one is building affordable housing, and the second is creating a labor force to build affordable housing. As the building industry takes off, and it's been, even during the pandemic, considered an essential service, so we've continued to build, and all of the other builders have continued to build, there's a real labor shortage. And so we see a need for affordable housing, and the developers see a need for a good labor force. So we're in a partnership with Pima Community College and their Applied Technologies Department. And they're already designing our houses, but we are going to use a center to train people to build so that we have more folks in the trades, plumbing and electrical and concrete work and framing and finishing at this center while they're building affordable housing. And a lot of programs across the state in high schools and at community colleges and in trade institutions, they're building things, but they're building a fake wall. They're building something and then they deconstruct it and rebuild it. This center is going to give us an opportunity to build walls just like we would out on the site. You've been out, many of your listeners have been out on the site. They see how we build a wall on the slab and then we lift it up and put the parts together to form a house. What we're going to do is build those parts and offer training while we're doing it, truck it out to the site, and then lift it up. So it's the exact same stick-built house. We're just going to be able to build 24/7. Well, not 24/7,
but I know what you mean. It's going to is not any interruption. Yeah.
No interruption. You know, we're not going to have to close down because it turns 105 degrees at 11 a.m. because we're going to have some climate control. We're going to be able to also at the warehouse, it's a warehouse and training center. We're going to be able to buy lumber. We're going to be able to buy doors. We're going to be able to buy those parts when the market is down because building materials are a commodity. And when there's a hurricane or a fires in California or something else happening, the cost of those materials goes way up. So when the cost is down, we can purchase in bulk. We have some place to store it. We have this training program getting people into the trades, which isn't going to only help habitat, but it's going to help when you have abundance in labor, skilled labor, costs are a little lower, and it's going to create high-wage jobs for families. And so we just see two problems coming together for a multitude of wins, and we're really excited about it.
And here's what I see hearing about that. So everybody knows that when you own your own home, it's a game changer forever. I mean, and you and I have talked about this. The only way I could have started my first business was having my home as collateral, signing my life away. But I had it, okay? The other thing is the shortage of skilled labor is really scary. Schools, what's going on with schools is a whole nother conversation. But everybody who owns a home, if you own apartment complexes, it doesn't matter. At some point, you're going to need a plumber. You're going to need some carpentry work done. You're going to need an electrician or somebody to install your cables and all that stuff. So to me, it's such a ripple effect. It changes the cycle of poverty for so many, not just the 100 students that you plan to launch on successful careers, but their families, their younger brothers and sisters. Everything changes because someone has a good job. And those are high skilled, high paying, because I know I have a plumber here recently and I was like, what? And it's deserved, because if you need a plumber, you just pay whatever they charge and you hope they're going to be good.
Absolutely. And, you know, a university education is not for everyone.
No, it isn't.
And there are so many young people, there's so many people re-entering the workforce, people getting out of the military, you know, people who have maybe been in one career and are looking for something else. The training opportunities through Pima College and through each of the trades, and they each have their own schools, is phenomenal. And what the Opportunity Center or the CHUCK is going to provide for us
is
a place where they can come do an internship, you know, get those hours that they need and support a nonprofit organization providing housing to hardworking families at the same time. So we're really grateful for the opportunity and the partnership with Pima College and for the ability now to move forward with this project.
So I want to just go back a little bit, like rewind a little bit, and maybe I should have started with this, but it's okay to cover it here. Give us a sense because you're on the front lines of the state of affordable housing in Arizona and how you've seen it changed even in the last year. So what's the landscape out there look like? I know it's not good. It's a leading question, but I don't know the numbers.
Well, 1 in 8 families or households in Arizona pre-pandemic paid more than 50% of their total income for their housing. I mean, that doesn't leave a whole lot for anything else, right?
Right.
So we know that people were already cost burdened. And now anecdotal and recent surveys are saying 1 in 3 Arizonans are worried about their housing. You know, maybe they've had a reduction or a loss in job. They've been living under eviction moratorium. They're trying to negotiate with their mortgage companies on how to reduce their payments or renegotiate their mortgage. But, you know, when you already had a cost burden situation, you know, we don't know what is going to happen in the coming months. It's just really difficult. You know, I say to folks when Habitat Tucson decided that we would start paring down working from home, limiting the number of volunteers that we have on the site. That was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And we had no idea, you know, we were projecting two weeks, 5 weeks. We had no idea that 8 months later, 9 months later, we would still not be able to have all of our volunteers on the site. We'd be relying on subcontractors, which increases the cost of a home. We would have all of these limitations on us. So take that and then take it to a family where they have not had their full income or they've had additional expense. Maybe they've had a family member that was ill or, you know, unfortunately, you know, a couple thousand people a day are passing away in our country, many in our community. The expense of losing a loved one, the expense of someone being sick, all of those things on top of being cost burdened for your housing.
Yeah.
You know, it's no wonder that our agencies are really seeing a large influx in people needing housing supports, needing food supports, needing those really basic essentials. And so, we're coming to a critical, really critical junction in our country where many, many, many people are going to be without housing. And so I'm very glad that the state and local agencies are stepping up to really try to mitigate as much of that as they can. And those mitigations have been happening over the last few months. But as things drag on, I think we're going to see more and more families in a desperate situation.
Just to be a part of the hope and me learning about this and getting excited about this, it's we so need it. And I think about before COVID, there already was a shortage of housing. As you said, there was a severe shortage of housing and COVID kind of pulled the curtain back on a lot of things. And it's not going to stop anytime soon. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but it's true. So having something like this to hang on to, and on the other side of it, there's definitely a greater divide, the haves and the have-nots. Tucson is a hotspot for houses. They're selling like hotcakes because people who lived in bigger cities in California and on the East Coast, they're coming in and they're paying cash for houses. So unaffordable housing for these people come and they see a house for $600,000 and they're like, oh my God, what a bargain. So it's the other part of that that we have to really remember too. And hopefully all of the really great people that are listening to this will understand why supporting this endeavor is something that is an investment in all of our futures. That's how I see it. It can be considered selfish because if people have affordable housing and they can put food on the table, they are able to become productive citizens and become part of the solution. So I don't know where to put this in, but I have to ask it because it's killing me. And if you say no, Gina, you have to wait. It's okay because I take instructions well. Who's paying for all this? How are you going to do this? Because you have a warehouse, correct?
We don't. We have to build this from scratch.
You have to build the warehouse? Okay.
Yes. So
it's really exciting because
it's that'll
employ people too.
But we have, we own land in the Flowing Wells neighborhood. And we go at the end of the very end of the month to the planning and zoning. Hopefully they will grant us a zoning change so that we can build the warehouse. But the neighborhood backs us 100% unanimous vote by the neighborhood association. And, you know, we're doing all the things that the county requires. And then a couple of things. We had an anonymous donor offer us $200,000, which is phenomenal. They really believe in our mission, and they put that belief into a monetary gift. And just recently, the Connie Hillman Family Foundation has offered us what they're calling a challenge grant. They're willing to give us $500,000, which is already actually in the bank, but we can only use it when we earn $2 for every dollar they've granted us. So over the next couple of years, we need to raise $1 million. And we can do that in a variety of ways, and we're working on that. But certainly through in-kind, you know, we're looking to the development community to help us with the building of the warehouse. We're going to put two apartments in the facility so we can host AmeriCorps members. And heighten that training program. And we're putting in some RV hookups so that Habitat International has a group they call Caravanners. They're very skilled folks, maybe retired, and they go around in their motorhomes to various habitats to lend a professional hand. And so we'll have some of those caravanners also to support the education there. But right now we're sitting at having, you know, about $750,000.
Oh my gosh.
And we need 2 million. But I really believe in the Tucson community.
Me too.
I believe in what we are doing. And we're taking a leap of faith on this one. And because we know how critical it is in our community, and the Connie Hillman Foundation board, they believe in us. Our anonymous donor believes in us. And we've had several other smaller donations. This Southern Pacific Railroad gave us some funding. So we're excited about what's going on, and we think we can meet the challenge.
You know what, kiddo? There is no doubt in my mind, and I don't know if people can tell when I'm smiling on the air, but I'm smiling. It's like, yeah, and you have a kick-ass board. You have people like, look what happened with the Women Build. There's so many things that Habitat has going for it in this community, and I'm like, I don't even have any angst about this, and I hope that this will be part of an inspiration for people, our listeners, and people listen to our Down to Earth Tucson shows in other parts of the country. So if you want to make a difference, think globally and act locally, please do that. I don't have any doubt. We will be, I don't want to double dog dare you, okay, but in 2 years, you and I will be on this radio where we'll be doing a podcast saying you did it, how'd you do it, who stepped up, and we'll be celebrating. So segue to, you build 20 homes a year about.
Yes.
Will this make it really be multiplied because you have the facility, and it is if it's rain or snow, or in our case, hot. So will this help you provide more homes to live safely and securely?
Yes, eventually. I think right now we're looking at how do we get cost savings, because the cost of building is multiplying exponentially.
Yeah.
And we can only build as many houses as we can afford.
Right.
So if we can utilize the warehouse space to cut costs, if we can, you know, right now we are building with a minimal number of volunteers. We have 10 to 15 volunteers on site each day. And you've been out to our build. We normally have a huge number. We have huge events where, you know, between 250 and 500 people come and build with us. And right now we can't use those volunteers. So we are paying for subcontractors to do a lot of the work. This is going to allow us to certainly multiply our impact in a variety of ways through the workforce development and through housing. The other thing it's going to allow us, and we've talked about the smaller house before, is we can stockpile walls so that if there were a reason we needed to quickly mobilize housing, we would be able to take the components out of the warehouse and erect some what we call a quick deploy housing. And so it's going to really enhance what we do on a variety of levels.
So did you kind of think you died and went to heaven when this all started unraveling? Because I know you, and this is really good news on so many levels and really well-deserved. I know a lot of people on your team, and I'm sitting here smiling thinking, I'm sure she thinks she died and went to heaven. She woke up and the dream was true because this is pretty damn exciting.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. So the best way, there's two ways that people can help. And I mean, Chapman came out this year. I had an excused absence, everyone, because it hurts for me to stand up, but I'm taking care of all that. It's all taken care of. It's the first one I missed. I'll be back. I'll be there. And so people can get involved by volunteering. They can get involved by shopping or donating to the Habba store because all of that's good and they can give money. And so sometimes I think people get intimidated by the sound of, oh, we got $250,000. Well, to me, every time I give $10 or $15 or $25, if that's what I can afford to give, I feel darn good about it. And I know you have the same approach. Whatever amount, there's no amount, no donation that's too small.
There is no donation that's too small. We have folks that have been giving us $10 a month for 10 years, or folks that give us $12 at the end of the year because that's what they have left after, you know, from their Social Security check.
I love it. I love it.
It is, there is no such thing as too small of a donation. Even if you add in the $500,000 award and the $200,000 gift, we still average about $400 for our donations. And that's because so many people take advantage of the Arizona tax credit.
Great to bring that up.
Right, for $200, $400. We get a lot of those checks because we do qualify under services for the working poor. And, you know, a lot of people give that way. Many people give through their workplace giving program. So that $10 is matched by $5 or $10 if you have a matching system at your workplace. And many people come out and give us their time and their talent. And that's just as valuable to us as their money.
Right. So the sweat equity. Yep.
Absolutely. We want people to engage with Habitat Tucson where they're comfortable.
Right.
You know, what is comfortable for you? And, you know, like I said, housing has, you know, we're all understanding how important that housing is. If I can quote one of our board members, who is also a Habitat homeowner, Solomon Berry, he has been in his Habitat house for a number of years. While he's working on the house, he was working on his nursing degree, and he is working as a nurse in an assisted care facility. And when he comes home, he comes through the garage and he takes off his work clothes and his wife has things out for him. He changes. Well, he actually goes into the shower, changes clothes, and then comes out before he addresses the family.
Right.
Because, you know, he's exposing himself every day to COVID. And he shared that he couldn't do his job and keep his family safe in the home they had before. The three children and the two parents were sharing a one-bedroom apartment. He said there was no way for him to isolate even long enough to shower and get his clothes in the laundry. They didn't have a washer and dryer in their apartment. And now he feels that because of his Habitat home, he can still do his service in the community as a nurse and keep his family safe. And he just shares what a blessing he feels that is. And it's something most of us don't think about. If you're living in overcrowded conditions, there is no way to distance. There is no way to take that space if you have to go out and you know need to have some sort of transition to make sure that you're not bringing the virus home with you.
So I want to press pause here for everybody, myself included, to think about T, our family talks about it all the time. I probably will never be homeless for a number of reasons. The way that I arranged my life, the gifts I had just being born to the family I was born, not a rich family, but a family that valued reading and education. I had so many assets when I came out of the chute. Shame on me if I didn't succeed. That being said, homelessness and hunger are two fears that I think are innate in people. I just can't imagine anything worse, especially if you have small children, than not being able to feed them and not being able to put a roof over their head, whatever that looks like. So I want everybody to just press pause and dig a little deeper and think how you can be a part of the solution, because this is a real one that we could make a difference and help this become a reality. And my second comment is, and I'm finding this with a lot of the partners who I admire and respect greatly, you know the power of partnership, and that's becoming more and more and more important and apparent and necessary. So you're partnering with the with Greg Wilson at the Applied Technology Center at Pima Community College. Some of those kids have dual enrollment at JTED, which we can't wax poetic enough about. They're unbelievable. So the power of partnership is just one I want to highlight again for all that you're doing. So the final question, T. Van Hook, is what the heck is the Chuck? I'm not going to let you go without telling us that one. Did you think so? I forgot?
We were calling it the Community Housing Urban Conservation Knowledge Center.
Got it.
But now we're calling it the Connie Hillman Urban Construction Knowledge Center.
Thus Chuck. Oh my God, I love it. I
and let me
love
tell
it.
You why we chose Chuck. Mr. Huckleberry grew up just down the street from where we are building our center. So they say you never name something after a living person, but we certainly wanted to give a nod to Pima County. And so we're calling it the Chuck.
I love it on every level. I love it. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that. And is there anything else that you're saying? I wish Gina had asked me that on the show. I think I've covered it. But if you have anything else you want to say, we obviously will have HabitatTucson.org on the website that will lead you to your website on how to give or how to volunteer. Is there anything else you want to give a shout out to or about?
Well, I will share this thought, which has been in my mind for 8 months now. The insecurity that we are feeling right now is one that millions of families in our country feel for a lifetime.
Right.
Even generations, because they don't have secure housing and access to basic human needs like food and education and those things that those with less means are really struggling with right now. And that's just something I'd like for us all to keep in our minds.
I love it. I love it. And I also love that I get to have the last word because it's part of my personality. So here's my last word. And I really reflected on this as I do with every closing. Listen, take action and share what you learned by listening to this podcast. It floats my balloon when someone texts me and says, I listened to this podcast or I listened to this podcast you did, because that's what spreading the good green word is all about. And what popped into my mind this morning as I was prepping for the show is the quote from The Lorax, which I haven't used for a while. And it goes, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. T. Van Hook and her team are helping things get better, and her partners are helping things get better, and they need our help to do what they do. And what better time than the first month of the new year is there to make a choice as to how you will show up to make a difference? Even if it's not Habitat for Humanity, which of course we hope it is one of your choices, decide what does spark joy in you when it comes to giving back and making good things happen, because we really need all capable hands on deck right now for the weeks and months to come. So I hope you'll get excited about this. You'll get excited enough to act, because the rewards that will come back to you are always a hundredfold. And anyone who ever gives knows that. So T. Van Hook, thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for being a part of my life, being my friend, and please stay safe. And my last thanks is always to you, our listeners, because without you, there would be no us. And T, I want to underline the stay safe part because the world needs you and every loving member of your team, okay?
We're doing our best. Safety first.
Okay, take care, everybody. Wear a mask.